Okay, looks like it's 10:15. We have a few people on the phone. Probably more will be joining, and probably more will be joining us in person. Today's topic is what we generally refer to as Tachanun. Part of it is precisely referred to as Nefilas Apayim, and we'll try to speak loudly because there's air conditioners on, and in general, it's a good thing to be heard. We'll try our best. If you're following with an art school sitter, the long Tachanun begins on page 124. The actual Nefilas Apayim is on page 132. I will mention 132. We're not really up to looking at anything inside. Probably a good part of this year will be discussion about Tachanun, so I don't know if you have to have your finger on the place for the first 20 minutes or so, but again, it's pages 124, beginning, 132, the daily Tachanun. If you're following with a blue Rödelheim sitter, it's page 50. So I would like to discuss a little bit about this idea of Tachanun and Nefilas Apayim. We find the juxtaposition of Tefillah v'Tachanunim in at least two places in Tanakh. We find in Melachim Aleph, when Shlomo has davened his long Tefillah, we read that in Haftarah and Shmini Atzeres, it says, so after all of his Tefillah, v'Tachanunim, and these special requests, Tachanun, Chanan, means to ask a request that one feels one does not deserve, but Chayn v'Chesed, to beg, to request. And we also find such a lashon in Sefer Daniel. So, in the context of our daily tefillos, tefillah, as we know, as we've had these three shiurim, the tefillah par excellence every day is Shmoneh Esrei. That's the tefillah. So therefore we follow it with what we call tachanun, these extra bakashos. Tachanun should follow Shmoneh Esrei. And indeed, the halacha says one should try not to interrupt very much between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun. One's allowed to enter Amen and Kedusha and things like that. One is even allowed, if necessary, to say something quickly, you know, it's over there, or pass me this, that's okay. It's not like you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei or something. But one should try not to have a whole discussion and then come back later. One is also allowed to move from one place to another between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachanun. So, just to briefly mention quickly, at least, the beginning of why and what and where do we learn the idea of Nefilas Apayim from. Especially if one is in shul, where this actually applies, one notices that that's probably the most unique aspect of Tachanun. The Chazan sits down for it. It's the only thing in the entire Seder Tefillah that a Chazan sits down for. The Chazan stands otherwise the entire time, even for things that we normally sit for, like Shema. The Chazan sits down. And more than sits down, all of us are nofel al apayim. We all fall down. So where does that come from? So this exact lashon of nefilah comes actually from Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. When Moshe, during the second set of the 40 days, after Klal Yisrael had sinned with the egel at the end of the first set, so Moshe in Sefer Devarim, which we'll be reading in a couple of weeks, when he's describing how he begged and pleaded to save Klal Yisrael, he says, "Va'esnapal lifnei Hashem." I literally fell before Hashem, and I davened those 40 days. Asher esnapalti. That's all he did for those 40 days, and Baruch Hashem, his tefillah was very successful. As we know, the onesh for the egel has been broken up into little mini sections that are tacked onto whatever other issues we may have going on. Couldn't fully be gotten rid of. It was a terrible thing we did, but Klal Yisrael was not destroyed. And not only that, but we received the Luchos Shnios. The bond was repaired, Baruch Hashem. We remained the Am Segula. We remained the nation that had just gotten Torah. And we received Luchos Shnios. So one should be aware that Tachanun, based on this idea that Moshe was successful by his being Misnapel, is a very, very special Choshuv Tefillah. It has a lot of kochos. And while perhaps it's not on the top of the priorities for someone who cannot say the entire Seder Tefillah, that's generally listed as women, anybody who, you know, for whatever reason can't say the entire Seder Tefillah, so So Tachron definitely does not make it up to the top three or five, because there are other things that are even more important, more of a chiyuv. But I'm not a local Orthodox rabbi or even Rebbetzin or anything of that sort, but one should be aware that Tachron is part of the Seder Tfilah. It therefore presumably would have more chashivos than people who decide to, you know, they want to say Perek Shira, say Nishmas every day, or Animamim, these are all beautiful things, not at all to put them down. But one might at least wish to be aware that Tachanun, for both men and women, is part of the Seder Tzvila, whereas many of these other extras are not even at all in a Sidra, they're certainly not part of the daily Tzvila. So, in terms of what actually comprises Tachanun, we're using this concept, after Tzvila, it's a good thing to make requests, Tachanun. What does this consist of? So these days, it's very standardized. The Tachanun that we say every day, except for happy days, obviously, when we don't say it at all, is actually most of Mizmor Vav. That's on page 132 in the Artscroll Siddur. We're not up to doing it inside yet, you'll bear with me, but it is basically most of Mizmor Vav from Tehillim. And that's the part that we'll hopefully look at inside. This is a beautiful Mizmor, attached or not to the Tachanun. That's what Ashkenazim say today. Now, interestingly, Sfardim, not Nusach Sfard, the Chassidim, but real Sfardim, the Eidos HaMizrach, they say a different capital. They actually say capital Chaf Hei, 25 of Tehillim, which is Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esor. It's also a beautiful kind of requesting the Chassidic type of Tefillah, of Mizmor Tehillim. And they never do Nefilas Apayim, or at least most of them. It's interesting. They say Tachanun, but they actually don't do the Nefilas Apayim. So there is a method behind this reasoning, why we say Mizmor Vav, but we do Nefilas Apayim, and why the Sfardim say Chaf Hei, but they don't. So we're going to mention soon that one of the ideas behind being Nofil Al Apayim, which is a rather sort of abject look, anyone who walks into a shul and has never seen this, you know, what's happening? It looks sort of concerning, and that's what it's meant to do. It's, you know, it's not a happy day, and we're davening, we're being a little bit abject. So one of the ideas behind this is that one should have an idea of what it would be like to, like, not have any of one's senses. I'm not seeing anything, I'm almost, like, not hearing anything, my head is buried, I'm not touching anything, I'm not doing anything, I'm very isolated from the world. I'm very without any power of my own hands, my own feelings, my own senses. I'm powerless. That's one of the ideas. And ad kidei kach, that there is an idea to have a kavana that it's like ke'ilu somebody has been nifter. One is not a part of this world. And if one would have such a kavana, so the idea behind that would be that one could even achieve kapara for certain averos that require mitzvah. For example, Chilul Hashem. I mean, hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, none of us have such problems. But, you know, I know myself, sometimes one is worried. Did one cause a Chilul Hashem? Did something happen even out of my control? But something might have happened. So, we know Chilul Hashem is one of the, you know, scary averos that really mitzvah is required to be fully mechaper. And they say having such a kavana that, in the idea of Hashem ein od movado, and, like, I am so not part of it, I have no strength of my own, to bear that in mind could somewhat bring a kapara for such things. Now, the thing is though, Mizmor Chaf Hei is even more about such ideas. Elecha Hashem Nafshi Esor, it's like I'm giving up my soul to you. To do that, plus the Tefilas Apayim, without a proper kavana, is almost like asking for trouble, because one doesn't claim to be on such a level if one really is not. Like one is not Dover Shkarim. So the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim both solve these problems in two different ways. We avoid that Mizmor, but we do Nefilas Apayim, and we try to have the Kavana. The Sfardim try to have the Kavana in Mizmor Chaf Hei, but they don't do Nefilas Apayim. So that's just an idea of behind that. I should also mention, in terms of what a chashuv tefillah is, the chashivah seems to be related to following, as we said, right after the tefillah, and then comes the tachinah. We may be familiar, in Bava Metzia, there's the famous story of Rabbi Eliezer, who disagreed with the Chachamim about a certain oven, whether it was Tameh or Tahar. He disagreed very much. He brought proofs. He said a carob tree should move, if I'm right, and it did. A stream of water should go the other way, and it did. The walls of the Beis HaMikdash should, Beis HaMedrash, I'm sorry, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash should cave in, if I'm right. They started caving in. But he was ignored because the halacha was not like him. The majority, under the rule of Rabban Gamliel, passed him differently, and Lo B'Shamayim, he, a Baskol, ultimately came out to Rabbi Eliezer's right, but they said, no, Lo B'Shamayim, he, the Torah is with us. And since Rabbi Eliezer was very, very insistent, not just in theory, but he wanted the halacha to be like him, they were menada him. They, in some sense, put him in chayram. They distanced themselves from him. They said, this is not a teacher who you can follow because it's gonna make machlokas. That's usually where we stop the story. But the interesting part is that Rabbi Eliezer was married to a lady named Ima Shalom. Shalom was her name. Ima was like a title, like Abba Ima. And she was a sister of Rabban Gamliel, who had put Rabbi Eliezer, her husband, into chayram. So she was very concerned that Rabbi Eliezer, with his sitkus to his tfilos, would somehow cause harm to her brother, Rabban Gamliel. And the Gemara tells us that every day she would not allow him to be nofer al apayim. So how that would work, but Mepharshim say that must mean that she somehow interrupted him between Shmoneh Esrei and Tacharon. Because otherwise it makes no sense to say that she stood by him all day, and anyhow, he would have said, enough is enough, I need to say Tacharon. It doesn't make much sense. But apparently she managed to somehow interrupt him every day, so Tacharon didn't have the full extent of its power. And one day, she messed up. There's machlokas in the Gemara, how this happened, how she managed to forget to interrupt him. According to one day, it says, she thought it was for Rosh Chodesh. She thought it was 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and it wasn't. So she thought he wasn't saying Tachnun, and he was. Another day, simpler, it says somebody knocked on the door, Pitzadokah, and she went to open the door, and Rabbi Eliezer was saying Tachnun. In any case, she came running back, she said, Gebelt, you're going to cause harm to my brother. And Beintach or Beintach, they heard an announcement, a Levaya announcement, that her brother was dead, Rabbi Gamliel. So, we should point out the next line. Rabbi Eliezer asked her, how did this even occur to you? Meaning, he certainly was not conscious of it either. How did you know Rabban Gamliel died? How did you know? He was amazed himself. But we see there's a call-off in Tachanun, especially in Tachinos and Tachanun. A lot has to do with, like, requests, as in if one feels, one should definitely not make requests against anybody else. But in terms of in the state we find ourselves in Golos and things like that, and we find a lot of, like, injustice and suffering and things like that, so Tachanun has a lot of power if one Davins with Kavanah, Tachanun is very appropriate for that. Just a few more things to note about it. As we are aware, Nefilas Apayim is only done in a place that has a Sefer Torah. So that's why at home we do not do Nefilas Apayim. And that's also, by the way, why currently in 90 Bennett, they keep some sort of Sefer Torah. It's not the one that they use. I guess it's less valuable, but they keep one in the Aron at all times in 90 Bennett in the summer, so that they can do Tachanun, they can do Nefilas Apayim, because without that, even if it's a shul, even if it's a minyan, but there's no Sefer Torah, you cannot do Nefilas Apayim. We learned that fact from a few things, but including from, in Sefer Yehoshua, it says, after the disaster by Ai, because of Ochan, I won't go through the story, but Yehoshua and his army were defeated, and it says Yehoshua fell down before the Aron of Hashem. So we see that in a place where there's something Kedushadik, like the Aron, or in our case, an Aron with the Sefer Torah, you can do an Nefilas Apayim, and if not, one does not. It's a very chashuv tefillah, as, you know, a lot of people, even in shul, they like try to get out of it, but KJ still tries to not get out of it. We try to say Tachron when appropriate. And I think that should be it for Tachron itself. I mean, there's much more to say, but I won't delve into it. I'll just make a few notes about the long Tachanun that we say on Monday and Thursday. That's very long. It can actually be divided into three sections. They all begin with a mention of Rachum and end with Rachum. Why do we say it on Monday and Thursday, Bedafka? So we probably would answer this as Kriyas HaTorah. That itself goes to the question, why is Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday? And that actually also goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, to his going up the third time to receive the second set of Luchos, if one figures the calendar of that year, which can be done, because we know when Matan Torah was, a few things. So it turns out that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on a Thursday, which was Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he came down on a Monday, which is Yom Kippur. The calendar requires a little bit of changes from how we do it today, in terms of Malay and Chaser, but that's what it was. So those 2 days, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, you can imagine Klal Yisrael was very busy doing teshuva that nothing should go wrong this time. When he came down in Yom Kippur, that was definitely very appropriate for teshuva and kapara and tzlicha. So we add on to those days, we add on Kriyas Torah, we add on Long Tachanun. In the days of when Beis Din, when Batei Din would be in charge, that's usually the days they held sessions. And perhaps related to that, according to Divrei Kabbalah, that's also the days on which the Beis Din Talmawa sits in session, so it's even more appropriate to daven for a chesed as opposed to too much gevura. We say this part of Tachanun standing. Should also note there's an allusion to it actually in the Haftarah that we read in Atanas Sibur. We read, Dirshu Hashem behimatz'o, when he is able to be found. We usually mean on Atanas, so specifically Elo, but the Rokeach, one of the Rishonim, notes, behimatz'o is Beis Hei, the days Sheni v'chamishi are matz'o. That's when Hashem is most approachable and findable, and it's appropriate to say a bit more of davening. There's a story about who composed the long Hurachum. I think it's alluded to in our scroll, actually. There are different versions, but it seems that after Korban Bayis Sheni, there were three people, or many more people, who were sent off to foreign shores. At least in one of those locations, they suffered greatly. There was a king or a ruler who wanted to test them, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, throw them into a kibbutz and aish, torture them in some manner or another, and three great people, whose names were apparently Yosef, Binyamin, and Shmuel, they composed this long Hurachum, which we'll see. Most of this long Hurachum is based on Psukim. We can't go through it all, but a lot of it is based on Psukim, but they adapted it, they put it together as a tefillah, and through different nisim, they were saved. The Gezerah was nullified, the king died, they were saved through an ace, and they basically sent this tefillah out to, you know, tell Klal Yisrael, we were zocha to a Yeshua through it, maybe you would like to say it too, and that's where this tefillah is said to come from. So, at this point, I would recommend turning to page 132. We'll take a look at least at the daily Tachanun to read through it. It's Tehillim anyhow, so it's very kedai to read. You'll notice that most Sidurim begin with a pasuk that is not from Tehillim, it's from Shmuel Beis. And it says, Vayomer David al God. David said to God Hanavi, Tsar li ma'od, my options are very tight. It is very narrow and oppressive for me. So, just to note the context, this was when David, unfortunately, had erred. He had been chote, he had counted Bnei Yisrael when he wasn't supposed to. And God the Navi came to him with three options. Either a famine for 7 years, war with non-Jewish enemies for 3 years, or a magefa, an illness, a plague, for 3 days. And David, obviously, none of the options looked good at all, but David's decision was, Nipla na biyad Hashem, let us please fall rather into the hands of Hashem, ki rabim rachamav, for his mercy is exceeding, uviyad adam alepola, but let me not fall into a human being's hand, which means that he chose the magefa. War is definitely with other people involved, and even the famine, if it's going to go on for 7 years, it's going to involve people price gouging, and yes or no helping refugees and immigrants, it's going to involve people much more. In Magefa, David decided it's straight from Hashem, and David actually did make the right choice, because Hashem was very full of mercy. It didn't even last 3 days, it lasted only a half a day. David, in the end, brought Kabanos on the site that actually later became the Beis HaMikdash, and Malach HaMavis was stopped right there, and Baruch Hashem was definitely the right choice. So a lot of people put in this pasuk here, because it's very appropriate, it's saying, we rely on Hashem. Even when things are terrible, it's as if it seems we don't have any good options, but the best idea is Nipra Na Biyad Hashem. However, this is not actually from the original Seder Tachanun, and Frankfurt am Main and KJ being originalists, of course, we don't say this pasuk. Not in shul, and anybody who follows KJ exactly is not going to say this pasuk at home either. My grandmother, actually, Aleha Shalom, came from Hamburg, so she was not a subject to this, and she used to say how her father, when he was teaching his daughters, apparently even Tachanun, he taught them Siddur, he warned his little girls not to think it said Vayomer David El Gott, that David is speaking to Hashem. He said, no, God Hanavi, not God. So that's just an aside. Speaking to God Hanavi, who is perhaps not as famous as Nathan, but there were two Nevi'im at that time, God and Nathan. We then move on to the actual Tachanun, which all Ashkenazim, even including Frankfurt, say the same thing. So the first pasuk is not a pasuk, it's just a tefillah to paraphrase. We daven, Rachum v'chanun, O merciful and gracious one. Chatasi, I have sinned, I have fallen short. That's basically being a human being. L'fanecha, before you, that's always emphasized, just that we should like realize how small we are. We are the ones who are sinning. Against who? Against Hashem, not just against an equal, against our very own Creator. Hashem, molei rachamim. Hashem, you who are full of mercy, rachem alai, please, have mercy upon me. V'kabel tachanunoi, and accept these my tachanunim, my tefillah, which is about requesting, begging, supplications. We then move on to pasuk days of Mizmor Vav. We leave off the introductory pasuk, l'mnafeach al hashminis, we don't put that in, and we jump into the meat and potatoes of that mizmor. We say, Hashem, al ba'afacha sochicheni. Hashem, not through your anger, please do not chide or guide me. Ma'al b'chamascha siyasareni. And not through your fury should you discipline me. So the Malbim makes an interesting point. He says, af is the appearance of anger, outward signs of anger. Whereas chema, he brings different proofs, chema is a really felt internal type of fury. So he says, tochacha, first of all, is less severe than yisurin, and also tochacha, as we know, can sometimes mean just like guidance. It doesn't necessarily mean you did something wrong and somebody's screaming at you, but it can be a guidance. You know, I see that maybe you're veering over here, I suggest that you do such and such. So David Davins, please give me such guidance and chiding, but without the appearance of anger. I'm ready and willing to take your advice, even without having to, like, put on a face of anger. Yisurin is discipline. That's already for something that was done wrong. So when somebody is disciplining someone, by definition, there will be an appearance of anger, even if it's not really felt. A police officer, a judge, an executioner, and oftentimes has to do something, he's going to appear cruel. He's going to appear not very merciful at that moment, even if he doesn't actually care and it's not even his problem. But the appearance of anger will be there when there's real discipline. But David asks, at least let there not be chema. Let it be, Hashem, that you don't actually also really feel anger against me, because I'm doing teshuvah. I understand that you might need to be miyater me, and then there will be an appearance of anger. That's what we know as the midas hadin. Not everything is easy to understand or easy to accept. It doesn't always appear like Hashem is smiling or full of chesed, but at least let there not also be real chema. Let there not also be real anger, Hashem, because I'm ready to follow, and indeed, Chaneni Hashem, please favor me, let there not be any more sorrows, ki umalal ani, for I am bent down, I am like cut off. Incidentally, as we said, the pasuk that we don't say in this mizmor, the very first one, is al hashaminis. We usually translate that as the eight-stringed instrument, but Chazal also connected to Yom Hashemini, referring to Mila. This mizmor is not said at this mila because it's tachanun. Actually, the other mizmor that also begins Sheminis, Yud Beis, is usually what's said at a mila. But both of them refer to bris mila because of this Sheminis. And therefore, one can also read Chazal Darshan Ki Umalal Ani. One can mix around the letters a little bit, or add, and read it as Ki Mal Ani. David HaMelech said, because I have a mila, at least favor me just for that sake that we're all Yidden, and we all bear this sign, this oath upon us, I have a mila, ki umlal oni. That's not the pshat, it just means to be cut down. Mol can mean to cut off anything, but there is that idea also. So David says, please, let there not be any more sorrows, and even more than that, refa'eni Hashem, ki nevhalu atzamoi. Please, heal me, not just stop for the future, don't give me more sorrows, but please fully heal me, for even my bones have been stricken. Meaning, I've taken your tochacha, I've taken your yisurin through and through. Like we would say, somebody is wet to the bone. Rabbi says, I am feeling it to the bone, both the pain and also the message behind it. He's saying, please, I think I'm ready for you to go to the next stage. Please grant your refuah, but I've taken the message. And that's very much also part of the idea in the Filos Apayim. I mentioned some ideas to have in mind. One was this Afisa Hakokos, to feel like one is not even part of this world. But perhaps a simpler idea is also to bear in mind Tsar and Hachno'ah. Like we said, the whole pasture of looking like this, if somebody who doesn't even know what tachanun is would say, something bad happened, you know, somebody's sitting with his head down, it looks bad. So that's to remind us, we're in Golus, there is a lot of tzar. I know for myself, sometimes, you know, punk at the time, one should be davening for something when it's not even aware of it, when it's not even thinking of it. After tefillah, you know, one reads the news, so many sorrows. So tachanun perhaps also really works. We know a person is motivated by his actions. If one acts like Gevalt, something's very wrong, so one also brings to mind what one should actually be davening about, including, of course, the whole Golos and Golos Shechina and whatever level one wants to take it on, and Hachna, a submission, a humbling oneself, I'm not standing all upright at all, I'm falling down. And also the last thing one of these things one can have in mind is Amora Shechina. Idea, indeed, like we said, we only do this with the Sefer Torah in the room, to have an idea that how awesome it must be to be facing the Shechina. We were zocher to stand, so to speak, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim when we daven Shmona Esrei, and now we bear even more in mind how awesome it is to be in proximity with Hashem, to have the zechus to daven to Him. Since I interrupted anyhow, I am actually going to mention one more thing about Nefilas HaPayim, which is, as we are aware, we fall down on one's left arm unless a person is wearing tefillin at that moment on his left arm. Meaning, all of us ladies fall on our left arm, a man who is a lefty falls on his left arm, and everybody at mincha, or everybody who does not happen to be wearing tefillin at that moment, a kid, or someone who's already taken off his tefillin, everybody falls on their left arm only and unless somebody is wearing tefillin on their left arm. And the reason for that, there are a few reasons brought, but one idea is that we know in Hashem's great chasodim, He attributes chesed to His yamin, to His right hand. V'chashem ha-gedula, that's the right, v'ha-gevura. So we want to sort of subjugate the left hand. We say we'd prefer if the gevura could please be lowered, could be subjugated through atachanunim. Another interesting idea I saw about this left, also I should note this idea of the gevura should be nefbash by chesed for that same reason when they used to be shechting the tamid, the daily korban, they would have it tilted to its left, and apparently that's what Yitzchok was done to him also by the Akedah. And as a separate idea, I also saw mentioned, we know by the Pesach Seder, when people recline, it's to the left. For a few reasons, the right might be dangerous, but also they say the left is just more comfortable, that's how they used to do it in the times when people actually reclined. Derech Cheres would be to the left. So they say we want to make a very specific contrast. As opposed to being native on the left, I am collapsing, I am falling down on the left side. But when one arises, one should feel the difference. As opposed to Asaba, I was all no-fill on the left side. So those are just some ideas about left and right. In any case, getting back to the Mizmar, so David says, indeed, I am stricken to the bone, and v'nafshi nivhala ma'od. Not only physically, but my whole spirit has been stricken down. V'ata Hashem ad masoi. You, Hashem, ad masoi, how much more can I bear? Until when, it means, literally, and meaning, how much more of these Yisurim can I bear? It's Chas V'Shalom, never like asking on Hashem, but it's said in a lesson of Bakasha, Hashem, please help me. You've given Yisurim, I think I have taken the message, now please help me. Shuva Hashem, chalasa nafshi, return Hashem, free my soul. We can also read it together, meaning, reshuva, return, as in do it again. Please, once again, free my soul, my spirit from these Yisurin. Hoshi'eni l'man chastecha. Save me for the sake of your kindness. I am not deserving, but please save me nevertheless. And Rav Hirsch notes, in general, the Hoshia is the strongest lashon, he says, of saving, even though we actually have a lot of words in Hebrew that mean to save, but Hoshia is the strongest. And he, Rav Hirsch, who believes in the fact that if even two letters of a Shoresh match, there's what to be said about it, so Hirsch relates Yesha to Yesh, to one's existence at all. He says that Yesha is saving one from the point of like being totally obliterated and saving him and keeping him, making him into a Yesh at all, making not ex nihilo, not creation, but saving someone from going into oblivion and allowing him to have a Yesh that this person should exist. So that's Hoshiyani. Then David says an interesting comment. He says, "Ki ein b'mavis zichrecha." There's no remembrance of you in death. B'shal miyodelach. In the grave, who can acknowledge you? So that needs a little bit of explanation, obviously. we understand that the physical guf in the kever obviously is not doing much anymore, but of course we know the neshama has nitchius, and neshama up in Shamayim is definitely being moded to Hashem, is definitely aware and acknowledging Hashem every minute, every moment, probably a lot more than we can do down here. So what exactly is he saying? So zichrucha, remembrance, means remembrance in this world. Like Hashem says to Moshe, Zeshemi olam, Zezichri l'dor dor, the point is to have people in this world achieve a more recognition, a greater recognition of Hashem. And death, as the verse says, is not the concept that is representative of your being and your sovereignty. Meaning, Rafesh elaborates on this, he says, in old times, in polytheistic and idolatrous societies, the idol's power was viewed as like death and destruction, because that's having power over a human being. A human being wants to live, and, you know, if I'm scared of this idol, which represents some natural force, a hurricane can come and, you know, chas v'shalom, knock me out, that's why I'm scared of it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is over these natural forces. So Hashem's actual being and ruling over the world is much more displayed in something that's over and above natural forces, such as Techiyas HaMesim, for example. Death is something that Hashem set into nature. It's really because of Chet Adam HaRishon, etc. But currently it's part of natural law. But for Hashem to save someone from death miraculously, and or to be Mechayahim, to give him life, that is something that's over and above the natural law, and that actually should bring out much more Hashem's rule in this world, as opposed to the natural forces, which back then became idols, and today, one would say, would just be the view of, you know, most scientists, the world just runs by nature, unless the only thing to fear is indeed the natural events, course of events, and one tries to do something about them, and nature and the way of the world is the most powerful, and or unless you think human beings happen to be the most powerful, both of which are not correct. So Hashem's granting life is his most powerful showing it, revealing his uniqueness to us. So that's what David is saying. I would much prefer to praise you and to acknowledge you through Bechira, through my living life in this world, than to suffer a premature death. Yogati v'anchosi, indeed, says David, I have become worn out by all these, by my sighings, by my groanings. Ascha v'chol laila mitosi, I make my bed swim in tears every night. B'dimosi asi amseh, I melt my very mattress, my bedstead, with my tears. I'm in so much pain. And by the way, you'll note part of this pasuk sounds familiar, not only from Tehillim, but we quote it in Hamavdil. The piyut that we sing after Abdullah, we say, right, Yogati v'anchosi ascha v'chol laila. We end it over there because Lila is a refrain. And David says, not only that, I can't sleep at night, and by day also I'm suffering. Also shah mikas eini, my eye has become dulled from my pain and aggravation, meaning like if somebody cries a lot, their eyes end up being red and irritated, and they don't see as well as they have to put a washcloth over their eyes are irritated. Also called b'chol tzara roi. This is a very strong lashon. Oskar actually means to become detached. I think this is probably meant figuratively, but David seems to be saying, like, his eye as if has moved from its socket. It's become detached from such pain and aggravation and crying. The chol tzaroi, from all that which oppresses me. And then David strikes a more optimistic tone. He says, after all of my tchinos, I know that indeed Hashem will answer me one way or another. So that suru mimeni kol pol yodin. All you doers of ill will suru mimeni, will go away from me, will retreat from upon me. Kishama Hashem kol b'chi, because Hashem has heard the voice of my crying. B'chiya is literally crying, and actually it's brought in the same Gemara that I mentioned before about Ima Shalom, it's brought over there that the Sha'arei Demos, the gates of tears, have never been closed, even when sometimes other gates to different tfilos, because of our behavior, may have been temporarily stuffed up or blocked, so that the tefillos at least are delayed or something like that. Sha'arei Dema'os, the gates of tears, are always open. And in fact, that's actually what Ima Shalom answered her husband, she said, I had a Masorah from my household, she was again Rabbi Gamliel's sister, they were all from Beis David, she said, I had this Masorah, I knew about this, that Sha'arei Ono'a, when a person feels that he has been acted with unjustly and he's crying, that sort of thing always remains open. And David says, Shama Hashem Tuchinosi, indeed, Hashem has heard my Tuchino, this Tachanun, Hashem Tuchinosi Yikoch. And not only that, but Hashem should accept, Hashem should take my entire Tfilah. Evotu v'ibahalu ma'od kol oivoy, may all of my enemies be utterly embarrassed and confounded, meaning embarrassed, they assumed that they would see my downfall, they were looking forward to it. As we know, David in his own life had a very difficult life. Well, at different points, a lot of different enemies all like literally gnashing their teeth and waiting to see his downfall. Some of the other mizmorim are very striking. Al Libushi Apilu Goro, David describes his enemies already casting lots on his stuff and his clothing. Who's going to get what? They're like literally anticipating his death. But he says, Yevoshu, they'll be ashamed. They'll see that this was not the case. The Yibalu, they'll be confounded and astonished. Ma'od very much kol oivoy. Yoshuvu Yevoshu Roga. This should again happen. They should go back and be completely astonished, Roga, in a very short time, momentarily. That's where the mizmor ends, and it's a very powerful mizmor. It's a very, spoken from the heart. David speaking, obviously, Ruach HaKodesh, but also very much relating to what he actually suffered. Now, for the rest of the time, we'll just take some look, a little bit look, at the rest of the Seder Tachanun. Again, this mizmor we say every single day that one says Tachanun, obviously not Shabbos, Yom Tov, and a whole list of different days that Siddurim usually list, and Frankfurt may or may not honor every single one of them. Following this mizmor, though, we have a recitation between Achazma and Kol that goes back and forth, called Hashem Elokei Yisroel. So this particular short tefillah, it's divided into like a few paragraphs. The Chazan says the refrain, and we say the refrain, and we say the paragraphs, and the Chazan says the refrain. This, according to our general accepted tradition, Chizkiyahu HaMelech composed this. It's a little bit hard to see where his name is. Some people see it, but you'd have to read it backwards. It's a little bit hard to find, but supposedly Chizkiyahu wrote it. And he wrote this at the time when Sancheiruv was besieging Yerushalayim, so he obviously was feeling a little bit desperate himself also. He composed this. The first line, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, those three first words add up in Gematria to 613, to Taryag. We are Hashem's special nation through keeping his mitzvos, Taryag. And the rest of the first paragraph, Shuv Mecharon Apecha, Vinochem Al Haro'o Le'amecha, again, once again relates to Moshe's Philos after the ego. That's what Moshe davened, and it's what we lane, and in fact it's what we say out loud in the laning on a Tanis, so it's very appropriate, and then we say how badly we are disgraced among the nations, and uvchozo simcha lo shachachnu, nevertheless, through all this, your name we have never forgotten, nor al tishkochenu. So just as we have never forgotten your name, Hashem, please don't act as if you have forgotten us. And there, it's a beautiful tefillah, there's more to read, but I guess we'll go on at this point back to something that today most people include in daily Tachanun, which is Shomer Yisrael. So that's an interesting tefillah in itself, because it seems originally it too was only a piyut inserted actually on Etanes Sibur. Today we say it along with Tachanun, as far as I know most tehillos do. The Riddleheim says, B'ktas tehillos rak b'tanes Sibur, but I don't know that any tefillah actually does that. It seems, interestingly, that originally it may have been a little bit longer and or there were different paragraphs. The way these three paragraphs work, they have a pattern. Shomer Yisrael, we call Hashem something, he's Shomer Yisrael. Shemor She'eris Yisrael, please watch the remnant of Yisrael. Ba'al Yovad Yisrael, and let Yisrael not perish. Ha'omrim Shema Yisrael, who say Shema Yisrael. And then we go on Shomer Goy Echad. Hashem, who watches over the Goy Echad, should please watch the She'eris of Am Echad, and Hashem, and our nation that is Miyachadim Shimcha, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, should not perish. We match up the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad, and then we go to Kedusha, Shomer Goy Kadosh, Shemor She'eris Am Kadosh, Vayovad Goy Kadosh, Am Mishalosim, Mishalosh, most Kelos say Kedushos. We actually follow more of the actual text of there's a Medrash Devarim Rabbo which discusses this type of thing, like there's a chusah, we say this, and Hashem should protect us. There it actually says, HaMashashim B'Shalosh, Kedushos Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. Everybody else says Kedushos L'Kadosh, to the Holy One. We say Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. We repeat what we actually say in Kedusha, Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. That's what we have. But interestingly, there seems to have been other Nuschos that included Shomer Goy Baruch, Shemar She'eris Am Baruch, and that would be from Baruch Kivod Hashem Limkomo. And there was another Nuschos that said Shomer Goy Rabah, save the, not the nation that is very big, Shemar She'eris Am Rabah, that would conclude with Omin Amen Yehe Shemei Rabah. So, just interesting to be aware, it really is like very much a type of a piyut. It's exactly how piyutim go. It's, you know, using a certain word and repeating it. Today, we say it every day, so we almost don't think about it. Of course, we also say it in Selichos and obviously in Tanis Sibra, but we also say it, you know, every day with Tachanun. Then we daven, Misratzeh Berachamim, Mispayes Pesachanunim, Hashem who allows himself to be more in favor of things, to become more good-willing through sachanunim, through our saying sachanun, so may that be the case. Hisratzev, hispayes, lador ani, ki eno zer. Please, indeed, find yourself, allow yourself to become more good-willed, and allow yourself to be appeased, lador ani, to this impoverished generation, ki eno zer, because there's nobody else helping. And then, interestingly enough, we say, some people say, the last Avinu Malkeinu, which Frankfurt doesn't even say an Avinu Malkeinu, and or we say it quietly, it's not even clear what we exactly do, but over here also some people say it, Avinu Malkeinu, Chaneinu V'aneinu, please save us, answer us, Ki'en Banu Masim. We cannot come to you, B'zchus, what we've only done, we can't, Asei Imanu Tzedakah V'Chesed V'Hoshienu. Please just do with us Tzedakah and Chesed and save us. We now come to the last part of Tachanun, which I would like to also go through, something we say every day. A lot of it is based on Pesukim, but before we go into it, we should also just note the idea of why we suddenly stand up, and when we do so, and why we do so. So as we know, as we may be aware, we begin this paragraph still sitting. We raise our heads after we finish Mizmor Vav. We don't remain in Tfilas Hapayim, but we're sitting there. And we only stand up after we've said the first three words. We say, v'anachnu lo neda, and we do not know. We jump up, and we say, mana aseh, what we should do. So, what is the idea behind that? Well, it's very simple, actually. As the Mefarshim explain it, the idea is, having concluded Tachanun, we have now basically davened in every position that we could think of. We have done the Tfilas Apayim. We have sat for the rest of Tachanun, we've also sat for parts of Tfilah before that, unless we were the Chazan. And we've also stood, we stood for the long Urachum, we stood for Shemona Esrei, we stood for other parts. We've done every position that we could basically think of, and as if to say, Hashem, we really hope this works, because we don't know what else we could be doing. We've tried every position in Tfilah, Manachin lo nida, we don't know what else to do, Manaseh. What should we do? So we stand up again. This pasuk itself is said actually by Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda. It's said only in Divrei Hayomim. At that point, there was a war impending from Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Exactly those nations who we had not bothered some, I don't know, 1,000 years before, or not 800 years before, when we were going in the Midbar, Hashem told us, don't attack them, don't fight them. If they don't let you through, you need to make a detour around them, and we did. But then these particular people of all countries decided, oh, let's fight with Yehuda. And it was concerning because three countries at once obviously give you a lot of people, and Yehuda was outnumbered. They're always outnumbered. They weren't even all of Klai Yisrael. They were just Yehuda at that point. I mean, they weren't with Yisrael fighting. So Yehoshaphat davened a long tefillah, and he concluded, "V'anachnu lo neda ma na'aseh, ki alecha einenu." We really don't know what to do, Hashem. So our eyes are set on you, are towards you, and you, Hashem, please help us. And just not to leave you hanging, Yehoshaphat and his people indeed were saved. You probably learned this when you were doing Melachim. The Melchama was in Melachim, but this pasuk actually is Divrei Hayomim. So I don't know how much repeats. In Divrei Hayomim, it reports that before Yehuda ever even reached where they were going to engage in battle, it turns out that these three nations had a falling out. One of them first had a falling out with two others. They fought each other. Then the two other guys had a falling out with each other. Edom, Ammon, Moab. And they basically killed each other and got into a very big topsy-turvy mess and left and died. Those who didn't die left, ran away. And by the time Israel got there, they only found the camp ready to plunder and take booty. And they came home after 3 days and they made a hodah and they davened. And the tefillah definitely helped what Yehoshaphat had davened. Should also just note, while we still are talking about Nefilas HaPayim, just for, before we completely close that topic, it seems that in olden times, people probably did Nefilas HaPayim really falling down. We don't do that because it's the same reason we don't bow fully falling down. So just like we bow only, you know, with our knees and bending down, so this Nefilas HaPayim also we only do from a seated position, which avoids any, by mistake, bowing fully down, because you really can't do that if you're sitting. They say that's the idea of sitting, and therefore, if possible, even without Nefilas HaPayim, Tachanun should be said sitting down. Unless one is not able to, for whatever reason, when there are no chairs or whatever, you can also say it's standing up. So to continue in this last paragraph, where by this point we are standing again, Ma'anaseh, we don't really know which option is the best. We've tried standing, sitting, even being Nefilas HaPayim. Hashem, we're relying on you. Zechora chamecha Hashem chasadecha. Hashem, please remember your mercies and your kindnesses. Kimei olam heima. They date back from eternity, from always. As we rely ourselves on Zechus Avos, and that itself was a chesed and rachamim of Hashem. Yechasecha Hashem aleinu ka'asher yichalnu lach. May your chesed, Hashem, be indeed upon us, just as we have eagerly awaited for you. We are always waiting for you, be it for the Gula Shalema, be it every minute. We know we rely on Hashem ein od milavado, so please, Hashem, act in a similar vein, and indeed, show us your chasodim. Alas is kolanu avonos rishonim. Please do not remember for us earlier sins, which could mean earlier sins that we've committed, as in hopefully we've done teshuva, and therefore Hashem should not recall them. Some mefarshim, though, actually do take it about rishonim, meaning people, prior generations, prior people before us, which would sort of mean that we are, like, entailing ourselves to not follow in the wrong footsteps. Because as we know, Hashem is poked of Avon Avos only on the children who go in the same bad ways. So if we're asking Hashem, please do not recall upon us sins of earlier past generations, that would mean that we wish to not fall into the same traps, and Bez Hashem we won't, that therefore, please don't be poked Avon Avos. Maher yikadmunu rechamecha. Please let your mercies quickly, like, come out to meet us, which perhaps reminds us of the dialogue that Chazal say we have between Hashem and us. We say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, return us, you do the pulling. And Hashem says, no, Shuvo Elayv or Shuvo Aleichem, you need to do some pushing back towards me. And Chazal say the compromise is Shuveinu, return with us. Let it be like 50-50, if we may say. So this would be Yikadmunu Rechamecha. May your mercies literally come out and meet us. We don't deserve them. Let them come out. Let us try to meet them, meet in the middle. Kidalonu Ma'od. For we have become very lowly. And goes, etc. Chaneinu Hashem Chaneinu. Please have free kindness upon us. We don't deserve it. Achein. Matnas Chinam. Favor us. Kirav Sovanu Vuz. Because greatly have we suffered, have we been satiated with humiliation throughout the Golos, especially currently we're in the 3 weeks. We can very easily relate to that more recent events, and certainly events in the last century, the last 80 years. One can only imagine how people felt when they said these words. It's unfortunately been true so many times throughout the Golos. We then quote a very short pasuk from Chavakuk. This pasuk is actually in Perek Gimel. We read it as Daf Torah on the second day of Shavuos. Chavakuk, in his tefillah, that's what we read, tefillah l'chavakuk, we read, Berogez rachem tizkor. We ask that Hashem, even in the midst of his rogez, of his justified anger, rachem tizkor, always remember your mercy. And this would very much relate to, we mentioned this, Chazal mentioned this in Oz Yashir and other places, where it says, Yimincha Hashem nedroi bekoch, Yimincha Hashem tiras oyev, the idea that Hashem, unlike Ebas of Adam, can literally hold on to the feeling of rachamim even as he has to act with din. Most people, like we mentioned before, the person who has to do yisurin, he has to at least give the appearance of anger. In fact, generally speaking, when one feels like one has to discipline somebody, one usually is actually also really angry. If one tries to control oneself, you know, the child probably didn't really mean it, but I have to do something to tell him not to do it again, one's definitely generally at least going to feel partly angry or an appearance of anger or something. It's hard to really fully feel one's greatest love of the child at the same time as one is thinking, how could this kid ever have done this, and I'm really annoyed about this, and I need to tell him not to do this again. It's very hard to juggle all those feelings. Even if one only has an appearance of anger, one's not really anger, but one is angry, but one is not generally in the height of feeling great love. So Hashem is unique, Hashem is not a bas adam, and that's why we daven that Hashem should indeed act that way. Berog is literally in the middle of anger, which Hashem may have to display or kibyachol feel towards us. Nevertheless, Rachem Tizkor. Hashem's hand is grasping the Midas HaRachamim as we daven in the Slichos. That should always be the case. So we a little bit justified. We say, why should Hashem have mercy upon us? Ki hu yodai yitzreinu. Because he, of more than anybody else, yodai yitzreinu, he knows our inclinations. Zachur ki ofo anochnu. It is well remembered that we are but dust. It's Hashem who created us. It's Hashem who therefore also best knows our weaknesses. And it's really the same thing. Our greatest strong point in serving Hashem is our bechira. But at the same time, that's also obviously giving us a tremendous possibility of weakness. We can fail in our free choices every moment of the day. We can unfortunately make the wrong turns. And Hashem knows it, and Hashem nevertheless knew that this is the best thing to do. So Hashem should please also act with mercy. In fact, we mentioned that by Masad Reishis, we say that up until the sixth day, when there were no human beings, only Elohim is used, right? Reishis Bara Elohim, and Vayar Elohim, Kitov, etc., on and on, Elohim, 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 that's Midas Adin. When it came, though, the sixth day, Hashem created people, so then suddenly, Biyom Bara Hashem Elohim Adam. Hashem was Meshatef, the Midas Rachamim, because in his infinite wisdom, he saw this was the way to do it, to give man this opportunity to truly serve him with Bechira, but then Hashem also has to act a little bit with Rachamim. Ozreinu alokei yishenu, so Hashem, help us, O God of our salvation, al devar kivot shemecha. So that's another big theme that we always have in Tachanun, and at all points we say, emolamaneinu, it may not be for our sake, but al devar kivot shemecha, for the sake of the glory of your name. If Klal Yisrael are not doing well, so then Hashem's name is kviyachol not doing well, in this world at least, because Hashem's people are degraded and disgraced, and maybe even disgracing themselves, and it's called making a chul Hashem, going, look, this is God's chosen nation, can't be, or what a joke, etc., all the things that we have suffered and heard in Golos, and that's really what, truthfully, that's what's supposed to make us feel the worst, that we are causing this lengthened Golos Shechina, that Hashem's glory is not perceived by most of the world because we as nation are down in the dumps, we're in Golos. So Hashem, please act with this idea of Dvar Kvot Shemecha, Hatzileinu, and save us. V'chaper al chatoseinu l'man Shemecha, and be mechaper, atone for our chatoim, l'man Shemecha, again for the sake of your name. So this is where Tachanun per se ends. I'd just like to mention two more things. One is that when one is in shul, and it is Sheni B'Chamishi, or any day, like a Tanis Tzibur, when one takes out a Sefer Torah, so then one also says, this Kel Arach Apayim. One notices in most Sidurim, there are two columns, right? Riddleheim says Ashkenaz in Poland, I'm not sure what the article would name it, but they're generally two columns of this Kel Arach Apayim. They're very similar, but they're not exactly the same. The interesting thing to be noted about this is that some people actually have the minhag to say both. Most other places, you know, we don't do that. We say either you say Bina Day of Haskell or Day of Bina of Haskell. We obviously don't say both. But this, apparently it's, you know, it's a tefillah and like, more can't hurt. Some people actually say both. All I can say is in KJ, I definitely wouldn't have time to say both, but be that as it may, some people do say both. And one last remark before I can't even say conclude the topic because there's a lot more to be said. But just one more thing to note are the hiratzons. In most shuls, they only said Sheni V'Chamishi on a day that one says Tachanun after Kriyas HaTorah. That's why they're located generally after Vezos HaTorah. However, KJ has the Masorah currently. Supposedly this dates back from shortly before the Churban Europe, that at that point, Frankfurt and perhaps other cities also, I'm not really sure, made a takana that Soros was so bad that we should say all these Yiratzons every time we say Tachanun. That's why we say it every Shacharis and every Mincha on any time that we say Tachanun. And we've kept that up because, I mean, Baruch Hashem, acutely I guess Soros have gotten better, but, you know, if a takana was made and Golos hasn't exactly ended, we continue it. And just to conclude, I learned this only from last year during COVID, that I mean, all of you learned this, maybe you knew this, we heard this on the phone from one of Rav Mantel's shiurim on the phone. He mentioned that these Yiratons and Achenu can be said the Yechidus. And in fact, he very much recommended saying the one about the Noah Mashchis and Magefa Me'aleinu. So these Yiratons are not in any sense attached to Kriyas Torah, they don't have to be said in shul. They're very important, sincere tefillos, they're beautiful, and when we look at the translation, they're very kedai to be said. And we conclude with Achenu, which, as we know, we often say after Tehillim. There's a Torah that's in our Kehila, we say this every day of the Tachanun. And I would just conclude that, you know, indeed, these are our wishes, that we should go from Afela La'ora, and Tara La'Ravacha, and Shibud La'Gula, Bizman Kariv, and Nes Hashem. So just one note, regarding next week, and Nes Hashem, there should be a change of schedule, and, you know, it won't be the 9 days, and Yerushalayim will maybe do something else, not Kinos. But on the contingency that we are meeting here, and we will be doing Kinos, I will, Nes Hashem, make a copy of the Kinos that I think we'll try to look at, because it's going to be otherwise very hard to bring in a Kinos and try to jump from one to another. Okay. Fine. Mrs. Strauss is suggesting that if I get my act together early enough and I make the copies early enough, we can scan it and... I'm not offering to scan it, I'm offering to copy it. We will try to include whatever handout we'll have in the email for people who are listening on the phone, or in general, whatever, want to print it out themselves or look at it already or prepare, I don't know, whatever anybody wants to do, we will try to make those copies available in the email. And either way, they will certainly be available in hard copy also, Mr. Hashem, next week, unless, Bez Hashem, we can have a change of topic, and obviously that would be much better. Okay, have a very good day, everybody.